I'm going to try to be really Holy Spirit. What you want to do, if you do it, God, it'll be just the right time. So, Lord, I just pray that I won't get in the way, that, Lord, you'll direct exactly where you want to go. Even though you give us thoughts, ideas, notes, and all that kind of thing, God, you can skip right around that. So just have your way. Your kingdom come. Let's say that. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, Jesus. Right here on earth. Right here in Greenville, Indiana. Right here at Faith Harvest. Right there in my family. Just like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. I'm praying for miracles too. How many of y'all are asking for? How many of y'all are asking for? Physical healing miracles in your life. Hold your hand. Keep your hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Wow. Probably stuff that affects your life, right? Stuff that maybe keeps you from doing and being all that you do, you want to do, that God has put on your heart to do. So I'm believing. He's given me assurance that he's going to heal my back. Even though I got an MRI, it says there's 3 discs that are screwed up and crushed and whatever they are, you know. I know that God is able to heal my back. He is bigger than MRIs. He is bigger than the doctor's report. Even though that report's fact. It's a fact that you can't lie to this machine. It's a fact that there's discs that are messed up. What's going on with you, hon? Your hip and your knee and your back. Like carpal tunnel type stuff or arthritis. Can't digest food. That's not right, is it? That food's supposed to go in and build your body up, isn't it? Your hip, arthritis, breathing. Lung, leg, back, shoulders. Back, vertebrae. Who else had their hand up? Yes. Knee. Lower back and ears. Yes. Melissa. Who? Did I miss somebody over here? Melissa. Arthritis. That's 3 arthritis. Or 4. Anybody else? Yes. Bulging and ruptured discs, and in your neck or only in your neck? And the reason I said this is when I came to Jesus, like hopefully everybody here has asked Jesus to how many of y'all have asked Jesus, you said, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need forgiveness. And I'm asking you, Lord, to save me. If you have, just briefly. Yes, I see you. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. All over the auditorium, I see you. Sorry, Billy Graham moment. Anyway, when you came to Jesus, how many of y'all would say you had some horrendous sin in your life? I did, you know. I'm not proud of that. How many would you say I just had a little bit of sin? But God doesn't look at it like a little bit and a lot, does he? It's like one sin is enough to separate us from God, right? So when I came to Jesus, you know, there was drug issues, there was alcohol issues, there was pornography issues, there was fornication. You know, you go on and on and on and on. And You had selfishness, you had pride, you had, man, I don't know. It just goes on. And y'all could probably tell me things that would not shock me, but there probably were some things. And so when you came to Jesus and you realized that you were a sinner and you confessed, I'm a sinner, and you asked Jesus, you believed that Jesus was the Son of God, right? You believed Jesus came and he hung on the cross and he was beaten and whipped for your sins, and his blood would wash you from all sins, right? You believed that. You advocated that. And you believe he rose from the dead. And the Bible said if you believe those things, if you believe them with your heart and not just... Because we know, we all know people that's prayed a prayer, but they didn't really mean it. Their heart didn't believe. It was just an act of... And I've seen people that had no clue what they were doing. Just the power of God would hit them. But it's surrender, right? God gives you surrender. So, you know what? Who would say they just, oh, I just had a horrendous past? Hold your hand up. Now, hold your hand up. You were just a little bit there. Don, you had your hand up. Hold your hand up. All y'all hold your hand up. So, Chuck, let's take Chuck and Don. Don had just a little bit, so it was real easy for Don to grasp and believe that Jesus could save her, because she grew up in church. She grew up around the things of God, right? But there came a point in time where you were like, I'm not right. I guess that's what happened, right? I'm not right. I'm not exactly right with God. I'm not ready to go meet him. I am not confident of my eternity. And that may have pushed you. It may have been something else. Chuck, same thing. I don't know where you were at, what was going on in your life. I don't know if you were down, up, sideways. But something moved Chuck that he needed Jesus. It probably wasn't hard for you to know you was a sinner. Well, from what you told me, it wasn't hard for you. The thing is guess what? Chuck, whose sins were many. Sorry, Chuck, but you know. I could say Mark. Chuck, whose sins were many, and Dawn, sins were few and light. Guess what? Chuck is just as saved as Dawn is. Chuck started at the exact same place. Y'all both started at the same place. You started equal. You started on level ground. You're both forgiven, right? And what you do from that point is what determines your destiny, you know? What you do with God gives you is what determines your destiny. He's given you all kinds of ministry, prison ministry, jail ministry, lots of things you do for the Lord. But that, if that's what God has asked you to do, guess what? That's wonderful. That's great. You'll get crowns. But if you're just doing it to be doing it, you know, there's a difference. It's from the heart. It's from the heart we minister, and there'll be joy there. If we're ministering out of our flesh, guess what? It'll be drag and drudge, and I don't feel like I'm, you know. But the point of this is, if Don, would you say, would everybody agree that Don and Chuck are both washed in the blood, saved, delivered, and going to heaven? Would y'all agree with that? Not everybody agree with that. Y'all think Chuck hadn't made it yet. Or Don hadn't made it yet. The point is Landon has a sore finger. No, you don't. Do you? Oh, okay. I thought maybe I called it. It was a word of knowledge. You've got a sore finger. You've got a little cut on your arm. You've got a mosquito bite. You've got something that's just like nothing. And Troy, you've got all these things coming against you. It's the same principle. God heals one. And the thing is we can believe God to heal a headache lots of times, you know? But, you know, something like you, man, you know, that just takes a lot. No, it takes no more faith. It takes no more. It takes no more. All you got to do is advocate the word of God, and that the rest is up to Jesus. But don't you dare ever back off from a situation because it's too hard or it's impossible. Because you know what? You'll never do nothing. You'll never do nothing for God if you're afraid to put him out there to the test. And it says we're not to test God or try God, but he does say in Rosite, help me, Jesus. He says, try me Test me, where am I at? Malachi, very good. Test me and prove me if you bring the tithe into the storehouse, if I will not bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you. And but this is not a giving message, because y'all are givers, man. I have never seen a group of people that are givers like this church is. You give out of your heart. You know, I want to tell you, we took up an Israel offering 2 weeks ago, last week. You know how much money was it? Was it with $500 something? And that's just like giving to the nations. It's like there was no, Janet didn't twist nobody's arm. It was just like, here, this is available to give to if you want to give. Praise the Lord. So God loves a cheerful giver, and he will bless you. So now that I told you it's going to be short, we'll get to where we're going. We'll start where I was starting. And I'm going to do this quickly. Lord willing. I may not even get to what I was going to do today. I was going to talk about Passover because we are going to do a Passover Seder. But if you do attend, you will get what Passover represents and what Passover was prophesying towards. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do something really brief. But I talked to youth group about this a little bit the other night. And again, it goes along with politically correct or biblically correct. And some facts and figures, just two. 151,600 people are going to go into eternity today. Their life's going to end. Their heart's going to quit beating and they're going to be dead. 151,600, approximately. How many people will fit in the Yum Center? I don't know. 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 20, 40. You know, we're talking eight times that many people checked out and are standing before God. 7,000 people in the United States checked out yesterday. 7,000 more are going to check out today, and they're going to stand before a holy God. Now, if you'll just meditate on that for a second, that's a lot of people. And this, you know, this website said something like 35% of the world's population was Christian. I'm like, I don't think so, but just say there was. That means that twice that many don't know Jesus. Twice that many are going to go stand before God, and he's going to say, "Depart from me, you accursed, I never knew you." And that's why Jesus said, go into all the world. And in America, you got all these people that you don't know. This might be their very last day on the planet. And your whole job is to just tell them about Jesus. Not to coerce them, not to twist their arms, but just tell them about Jesus. Just give your testimony if you can't do anything else. It's powerful. It's powerful. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Revelation 20, go there, please. Verse 11. Excuse me? Oh, I thought somebody said something. Revelation 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, capital H, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Can you imagine? The earth and the heavens fled away from his presence and his gaze. Just nothing can stand before God. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. I saw the dead, small and great. What's small? A little beggar in India that never had enough to eat. A little beggar that died of starvation because he had no food. A little person nobody knew about, never made an impact on anything or anybody. Small and great. Kings, presidents, congressmen, judges, preachers, pastors, religious people. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. So there's bunches of books. I don't know if it'll be on hard drive or books. I don't know how all that works. But everything, Don, you have ever done, everything you have ever said, it's recorded. Whoa. That includes Mark. Whoa. I don't like that. The books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So have you ever been telling anybody about the Lord and ask them, maybe if you were to die right now, or if you were to get T-bone smashed coming out of this intersection, and you were to be just taken, where would you spend eternity? What would the answer usually be? There are several different answers I've heard. One of them is heaven, I hope. Right? Then you can say, well, why would you go to heaven? Well, I've been a good person. I've treated my neighbors right. I've done this and this and this and this and this. Have y'all ever got that response? Generally, it's, or I went to church. You ever heard that one? I was water baptized. You ever heard that? I hear that one a lot around here. That's said a lot. And believe me, I love water baptism. Should be done. It should be a witness to the world. But the Bible says all of your good works are like filthy rags before God. And I know this is so gross, but do you know what kind of filthy rags he was talking about? Menstrual rags is what he was talking about. That's how God looks on your good works. They mean nothing. So the books are open, but there's one book that trumps all those books, and it's called the Book of Life. And when Chuck entered into a relationship with Jesus, his name was written. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure when that happened. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, when was your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I'm going, well, when I got saved, I guess. He said, really? Think about it. So I'm not sure. It doesn't depend on your salvation or anything. But he said, I believe your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life when you were born, when you were conceived. Because there's a verse in here that says your name was blotted out of the book of life. So at some point in time, only God knows. I think it's when the conviction, Mike, of the Holy Spirit is on you so strong. It's like, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. It's crucial that you come to Jesus. It's crucial that you give your life to Jesus today and you go, nah, I don't need it, or nah, I'll do it later. When you take your last breath and you check out, I believe, man, God gives you all the way to the finish line. He gives you all the way to the very last breath to repent. Don't you believe that? The thief on the cross wasn't baptized, was he? He waited till the very last minute. And he said, Lord, he said, oh, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. He didn't say that, did he? He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, I will be with you in paradise. Today. I'm just telling you how to crucial what you do here on this planet is. That God has set you apart for a day such as this. And Zoe, you're a senior, right? Yay! Anybody else a senior? You're a senior. I'm trying to think when I was a senior what I was doing. Writing stuff in the books is what I was doing, man. Wild and crazy. And since I've been out of high school, I think there's been about 30 of my classmates that are no longer on this planet. And I think about people. Sometimes I have thought, and there's no condemnation there, but I've thought, boy, if I had given my life to Jesus, Zoe, like you did when you were young, if I had done that, these people might have had a chance to receive the gospel, you know? And I think about the people that I watched be mistreated, and I just kind of let it. I think if I'd had Jesus, I would have been a little bolder and I would have stood up for the abused. I would have stood up for the rejected, you know? So I envy you having that place and that time to do that. And as a teacher, to have that place and that time to do that. But your name's written in the book. Praise God. I hope your name's written in the book. You know if it is or not. But your whole job is to make sure everybody goes out of here with their name written in the book. Well, and to do the works of God, which will get people written in the book, won't there? I'm going to tell you, man, we are right on. It's like, you know, if y'all ever surfed, I tried one time, you know, but it didn't work. But I could body surf because I've got a big old surfboard. I love to body surf. Have y'all ever to body surfed? Have you ever caught a wave? Man, I'm telling you, it is so cool. There is nothing like it. And the bigger, the better. Unless, of course, it breaks before it's supposed to. But, man, I mean, you had to paddle, paddle, paddle. Man, once you get on that wave, you can just like, I don't say I was graceful. I probably look like Shamu the whale, but that's okay. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the speed. I'm enjoying that water. It's just wonderful. And, you know, that's what God's saying. You guys have been paddling for a long time. You've been paddling, trying to catch that wave, and here you are, man. There's a tsunami. There's a tsunami, and we're about ready to catch this wave, and it's going to take us into glory. It's going to take us into a deeper anointing. It's going to take us into this. And it was Pastor Paul was here, was it Monday? No, I mean, it was Food Pantry Day. And Pastor Paul, he hears from the Lord, and he's very prophetic. But he said, that morning at 3 a.m., he woke up, and our church was on his mind, and he said he saw right over in this section. He saw bodies all over the floor. He saw people healed. He saw people delivered. He said, it is right there. It is right there. And you know, right before, if you go back to Passover, let me get a little Passover in there. What had they been doing for how long? 400 years, wasn't it? They had been slaves, right? They've been captives, right? And so God delivers them. God parts the Red Sea at Passover. It said they put the blood on the doorpost, the blood of the Lamb, and the blood said the death angel passed over. The destroyer passed over because he saw the blood. 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 And Jesus is the sacrifice, the Paschal Lamb that was sacrificed. If you've never been to a Passover, man, you need to come grab that. If they didn't tell you it pointed towards Jesus, they just don't know. It all points to Jesus. Do you remember Jesus? It said when, how many of y'all knew that communion started at a Passover Seder? Did y'all know that? That's where it started. And it was the third cup. There's four cups in a Passover Seder. The third cup is the cup of redemption. Jesus took that cup and he said, eat my flesh. He said, this bread is my flesh. Do this in remembrance of me. He said, this wine is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. In other words, I am salvation. I am the one. I am redemption. And you remember right after that, he said, I will no longer drink this cup with you until I come into my Father's kingdom. The next cup was the cup of praise. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew he was fixing to die. He said, I will not drink this next cup with you. And it said, then they went out into the garden, right? And then he went into what? Great travail. Take this cup from me, God. Take this cup from me. If you can do it, God, but not my will, God, but yours be done. And so Jesus, he made a way. Praise the Lord. He was prophesied from the very beginning of time, right? He was prophesied in the garden, wasn't he? Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All the way through the Bible, Jesus from Genesis to Revelations. We have the greatest power in the universe working with us, or we work with the greatest power in the universe. There's no excuse for failure. There is. There is no excuse for failure. I don't mean things happen in our time, but you, young lady, you're going to get some opportunities in these last days, because I know what's going on at school, unless it's much different than the school I went to. It's parties. I don't know if they've started yet. How many weeks is it for graduation? Six? Anyway, you can be a light. You can be a light. You can be a great light and stand for Jesus. Stand for righteousness. So, if Jesus thought you was worth dying for, you are very worthwhile.